A recent Newsweek poll concludes that about two-thirds of Americans approve of President Bush's policies to prevent new terrorist attacks on the United States. Only about a quarter disapprove. But a new book by two leading Republicans argues that the U.S. is losing the will to fight the war on terror. NPR's senior correspondent Juan Williams spoke with the authors.
David Frum is a former speechwriter for President Bush. Richard Perle is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. In their new book, An End to Evil, How to Win the War on Terror, Frum and Perle say the nation needs to become more aggressive against terrorism. For example, they propose that the U.S. leave the United Nations, unless the U.N. Charter is changed to give the U.S. a free hand to fight terrorists. They favor issuing identity cards to everyone in the U.S., and they propose expanding the Patriot Act to give the government the power to rescind citizenship from anyone involved with a terrorist group. Perle says the American people and the government haven't fully recognized the extent of the threat posed by terrorism.
There's a tremendous resistance to the kind of change that's necessary. We inherited the institutions and organizations that need reform after half a century of Cold War, and they were fine-tuned to fight that Cold War. Now we're faced with an entirely different set of threats. The Soviet Union is gone. We're concerned about Islamic radicals who want to see us destroyed. And the institutions, not surprisingly, are not well adapted to dealing with that very different threat.
David Frum, there are parts of the foreign policy apparatus of the United States that have spent 20 years, 40 years, building American relationships with the repressive regimes of the Middle East. They are constantly telling us that the problem of terrorism is a problem of bandits, that Osama bin Laden is the Pancho Villa of our time, and we just have to track him and his men down, and that's the end of it. They do not want to see that we are engaged in a very large struggle that implicates a lot of countries with which the United States has had relationships in the past.
David Frum, you worked for President Bush. Is President Bush responsible for not selling the case that we have to do more in this war on terror?
I don't know that anybody could have done more. I mean, he's been eloquent, and he has pushed. But he also bumps up against the limits of presidential power.
You mention in the book that there are tyrants like Saddam Hussein in Latin America, in Africa. But say the difference with Saddam Hussein and the Middle East is that they have oil, and that oil is the mother's milk of terror. Is that then feeding into sort of, well, liberal critics who would say the war in Iraq is really about a war on oil?
The point is not that the difference is that they have oil. It is that the oil makes them dangerous in a way that other dictators are not. Robert Mugabe is probably in his heart of hearts as bad a person as Saddam Hussein is, but he doesn't have the money. He's not sitting in the middle of a highly strategic region. He is not able to be the kind of global menace that a Saddam Hussein is. It isn't that the oil is so important to us, it is that the oil is important to the dictators and the terrorists, and it is what gives them their power and their threat.
Richard Perle, toward the end of the book, one of the recommendations that the two of you make is that the U.S. should consider withdrawing from the United Nations if the United Nations does not agree to necessary reforms. What would be the implications of withdrawing from the United Nations?
Well, I don't think it would have the profound consequences that some people might fear, since the United Nations is not a profound institution. That is to say, it has proven itself largely unable to do what it was intended to do, which was stop acts of aggression. It was created, at best, to stop aggression across national borders, and that's not what we are worried about. We're not worried about being invaded by a foreign army. We're worried about terrorists with a nuclear weapon or a biological weapon. And for dealing with that, the UN has almost nothing to offer. Now, that could change. And I'm not arguing that we should withdraw from the UN except as a last resort.
David, what's the economic impact on the United States if the rest of the world goes against the U.S. on this heightened war on terror, as you and Richard Perle describe it?
What do you mean if the whole rest of the world goes against the United States?
Well, if the rest of the world views the U.S. as adopting an isolationist, unilateral policy.
Much of the developed world has as much or more to lose from terrorism than the United States does. It isn't that they disagree with the United States about terror. In a way, one of the reasons they are not as cooperative as they should be is that they actually think the danger is even greater than Americans do. They do cooperate with the United States on intelligence gathering and means like that, precisely because they know they are a lot closer to where the danger comes from. I mean, their instincts may not always be of the bravest, but they don't have an intellectual disagreement with the United States. But we've been here before, when many of us thought that the solution to the problem of the Soviet Union was regime change, when some in Europe were frightened by the consequences of that, and there were a lot of strains in those alliances back then. The only way we can have a world of trade and law is by getting rid of this menace, just as we got rid of communism and Nazism.
One last question for the two of you, and I wish you'd answer it in turn. If there was one step, one prescription recommended in your book that you would say we really need to take to heart as a nation right now for the war on terror, what would it be? Richard Pearl?
I would begin the very broad institutional reform of our intelligence agencies and continue what Secretary Rumsfeld's attempting to do with the military.
But what would the reform be?
We need to replace the people who have been getting it wrong. The sad fact is that there has been one failure after another at the CIA, particularly with respect to understanding the Gulf, understanding radical Islam, and the people who have had it wrong all these years are still there. There's been no new blood, and there is no cost attached to getting it wrong. I'm not talking about misdeeds. We've been firing people at the CIA for misdeeds, but never for inadequate analysis and inadequate operational skill.
David Frum, if there was one prescription that you would say we have to act on immediately, what would it be?
Well, I'm tempted to say it's to re-elect President Bush, because if that doesn't happen, everything else falls apart. But I would say my first recommendation would be that we have to take measures to ensure that there is adequate security inside the borders, and that the United States is not just defended at the airport, at JFK, at LAX, but even if somebody eludes detection at LAX and JFK, that it is possible to find inside the borders the people who ought not to be here, who are suspected of, or feared that they might engage in serious wrongdoing. And that's going to take measures like national identity cards, that is going to take reform of the immigration service, that is going to take, by the way, cooperation of colleges with the U.S. government so that people who enter on student visas and then leave the college does not see it as some kind of civil liberty that a student who came in should be allowed to drop out and nobody ever know about it, that the colleges should cooperate.
David Frum and Richard Pearl are the authors of An End to Evil, How to Win the War on Terror. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Juan.
Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.